Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Las Vegas. This is John Racine from the Church at Las Vegas, and we're glad that you can tune in with us this morning and consider the awesomeness and the holiness of our great God and Creator. You know, as we start this broadcast, I wanted to just start with a prayer for the day. This is by someone named Emmy Baxter, and I really liked what it said. And consider, it says, "Thank you, God, for this day. Let me use it wisely. Thank you for my job. Let me do it well. Thank you for the money I earn. Let me share it with others. Thank you for my friends. Let me be worthy of them. Thank you for my loved ones. Let me love them truly. Thank you for the gift of life itself. Let me live it to the fullest. Thank you, God. Thank you." I thought that was kind of neat. It was just a simple little prayer, but how thankful we need to be and how we need to get our eyes open and realize how great are God's works. You know, last week we started in Psalm 111, and if you turn back there again, I'd like to reread that. Psalm 111, and starting in verse 1, it starts off by saying, "Praise the Lord! I will extol the Lord with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." What a great psalm, and last week we started considering how great are the works of God, and they are to be considered and thought about, and they're to be delighted in, and I hope that's where you are this morning. If you are listening this morning and you don't have a really good relationship with God, or maybe you don't have one at all, you know, I want to encourage you to pursue that. I want to challenge you to consider what that might be like. And God himself, our Creator, certainly wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to acknowledge us, and he wants us to acknowledge him. And when we do that, what a amazing, full, wonderful life we can enjoy. Last week, we started talking about the greatness of his creation. And then we also considered the greatness of his word, the scriptures. And I know there's a lot of people that doubt those things or say that we're too scientific for those things now and that they're old-fashioned and out of date, but you know what? The truth endures. And God, in the beginning, did create the heavens and the earth. We know that he spoke into existence from nothing the things that we see and even the things that we don't see. And we know that he has recorded the things that we need to know and understand in his word, the scriptures, through a combination of history and poetry and laws and prophecies and so many other things, the life story of his son Jesus, and through the acts of his apostles, and then the letters or epistles that the apostles wrote to his people, the church, we just get such an amazing understanding of who God is. Certainly not in its fullest, but things that we can consider and think about and delight in. I want to go ahead and continue on this morning with a third thing that is a great work of God, maybe one of his most amazing works, and that's salvation. You know, a lot of times we talk about salvation as if it's something that we did or something that we were able to take care of. But I want you to know, and if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly you understand that it's not your salvation, it's his salvation. It's his salvation for your salvation. And I love what Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, is that he provided redemption for his people. He provided redemption. In other words, he bought us back. He made the way possible for us to be saved. And that's so huge that we understand how great and amazing and incredible that concept is. First of all, it's something to be considered. And a lot of times people ask, well, why do I need to be saved? What do I need to be saved from? And the answer is sin. Sin is a breaking of God's rules. It's a breaking of God's relationship. And all of us, the Bible says, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And another question might be, well, who will save me? Well, there's only one person that can save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. I can't save you. Your boss can't save you. The president of the United States can't save you. No one can save you from your debt of sin and the punishment of death except for Jesus Christ, our Lord. And, you know, if you don't believe these things, I'd encourage you to be challenged by them. Look into them. And even come to the conclusion of, what must I do to be saved? How must I respond to this amazing message of God's grace in life? Because, friends, again, salvation belongs to God. It comes from him. He's the one that thought it out and made it possible. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, John, the Baptist or immerser, says about Jesus in verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how he addressed Jesus or pointed him out. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that means your sin too, friend. He can take any and all of our sin away if we will acknowledge him, if we'll trust him, if we'll believe that he indeed did that for us. John 3:16, a verse that so many people have come to know and appreciate. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's no reason that we should perish. God has made life possible for us through Jesus. And yet, we do need to be saved through him. This is what God made possible. Salvation, where he takes care of the penalty. Not something that we have to work for or earn, but he loved us so much, he didn't want us to be punished. And so he punished his own son to take our penalty. That's mind-boggling. It's just hard to understand that he would do something like that for me. But he did, because of his great love for me and for you too. And so, man, when we consider salvation, when we consider how great and mighty he is and what he's done for us, it should just really cause us to think and reflect and be delighted that he would do that for us. If you turn to Romans chapter 3 in the Bible doesn't paint a very nice picture of us. It says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, that's where so many of us were, all of us. And somebody says, well, I wasn't that bad. Well, you know, it doesn't take much when you compare yourself to a perfect, absolutely holy God that there is no sin in, who is absolute light and truth. There's no darkness in him. When you consider that that's where we were, it's no wonder that we stood in death and in condemnation. But I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not our own life, not our own good works, not our good deeds, but through his life. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Folks, I want you to know there's such hope and comfort and joy in considering and studying and thinking about salvation, glorying in our salvation, and being very grateful and thankful to the Lord Jesus who makes it all possible. We're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns, a song called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. Let's listen.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around, but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world. open doors. Oh Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause, you reach for the outcast, oh, for the leper and the lame, they're the reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast, but you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet. Cause you are good, you are good. And your love endures forever. You are good.
What a great song from Casting Crowns, Jesus, the Friend of Sinners. And that brings us to the last thing that we want to talk about this morning, another one of God's great works. And it goes right along with salvation, and that's talking about the church. The church. You know, it's really sad in our society and with so many people that church has almost become like a dirty word, and that when people think about church, you know, they just think about hypocrites, and they think about people that just trying to get you out of your money, and who knows what are all the other kind of things that people think. But church is a biblical concept. Church is something that is a work of the Lord, and it's a great work, and it comes as a result of salvation. I want you to know this morning that the church is not a building. Church is not a building. There may be a church building where people come to worship, to assemble, to study, to pray, to do a lot of things, but the building is not the church. The church is a people. The church is a people that have been saved, who have been called out of darkness and brought into light. It's what Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That kingdom is the church. We're his people. We belong to him now that he has set us apart and saved us and brought us out of darkness. And Jesus said very clearly over in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, when Simon Peter had addressed him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." In other words, Peter wasn't going to be the one that the church was built on. It was Peter's statement that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that the church would be built on. And that makes sense because the Savior of the church is Jesus. Salvation is only possible through Jesus the Christ, God's only Son. And so the church doesn't save people. The church is made up of those who have been saved. And of course, if people will come to an assembly of Christians where the Bible is taught and the gospel is proclaimed, then they can also learn about how to be saved, to be a part of this kingdom, this great people that Christ bought for himself. But I want you to see in Matthew 16, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now, thankfully, he's given us the privilege of sharing that as well, but I want you to know that it's not something we do, it's something that he does. And how does he do that? Well, he does that as we proclaim the gospel. As we, like Paul said in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." That in the words of the gospel and the good news about Jesus Christ, there is described or proclaimed the way from death to life. In other words, again, through Jesus. And when people will respond to God's grace in Christ, when they will repent of their sin, when they will turn away from that and realize what a lack of relationship they've had with God, that they've gotten captive in all kinds of sin and wrongdoing and just miserableness in life, when they realize those things and come to Jesus for life, wow, what a difference he can make in their life. So if they'll repent, if they'll be willing to confess Jesus as Lord, that they recognize that he truly is Lord and Savior. And as people respond ultimately in baptism, initially, that they would be baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, having their sins washed away, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, responding to God's grace is a wonderful thing, not a difficult thing. And when we do that, then we become a part of that kingdom. I like the way Peter describes it in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You know, what an awesome result of salvation being added to the Lord's church. And I want you to realize that that happens as God's people are ambassadors, as they share the gospel, as they are salt and light like Jesus wanted us to be. And I would encourage you again, if you haven't considered this amazing work of Jesus Christ, that he continues to build his church, I'd like you to consider looking into it. Come and visit us at church. Come and visit our assembly of God's people. And we'll talk to you about that in a little bit. But just be excited that the church exists. Don't look at it as a bad thing. I know men have corrupted it, and there's false doctrines, and people want to just use godliness as a means to financial gain, some of them. But there's so much more to it than just that. I'd like you to encourage you to look into that great work of God. All right, we're going to consider our next song this morning. I should say we're going to listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean called "Saved the Day." And it really points to Jesus again as our great God and Savior. So let's take a listen.
The darkest day in history was over. All was lost on the cross. Beaten, battered, bruised beyond description. You gave it all. What went wrong? This couldn't be the end of heaven's story, 'cause you came to save, to beat the grave. 3 days and now they're looking for your body. Now I know. You saved the day, the day you rolled the stone away. The empty grave. from the shackles of my failure in the dead of night. You shined your light. Your gift of love is hope that springs eternal. And because of you, all things are new. You say all things are new. You save the day.
What a great song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. You save the day. And I hope you've been encouraged by listening to these things this morning and realizing, again, just how great and amazing the works of God are. His work in creation, His word, the scriptures, His salvation that He makes possible, and the church, which is His body, His people who have been called out of darkness. You know, again, we'd like to encourage you to come and visit us at the church at Las Vegas. We're a group of people that meets at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we'd sure love to have you come visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30 or Sunday night at 6 o'clock or even Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We have a prayer and Bible study. We'd like to encourage you to come to that. You can reach us on our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com or by email at thechurchatlv@centurylink.net. Folks, thanks so much for being here this morning. Again, we always want to challenge you to keep seeking after God's face. Learn about Him and His ways and how wonderful life can be, not only here, but especially after this life is all over. And so please, as we always end our broadcast, keep standing on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.